T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
The best walk-up song on Saturday Suckage. Actually, the best walk-up song anywhere. Welcome in, welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Esposito in for Grody. Steve Rosenblum here, and we welcome that walk-up. The voice of God, John Facenda, welcomes the score to The Score's hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Mark Gonzalez. Gonzo, welcome back. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for remembering me and bringing me back.
Yeah, you're here. We're talking baseball. The Cubs, deluxe. they went to the meetings and they came back with Wade Miley, which seems like sort of Zach Davies with less suck. So what does the Wade Miley thing tell you, if anything, and what could Cub fans expect?
Well, I guess it's unfortunate that, or maybe it is. It would be fortunate if Anthony Rizzo signed with a National League Central contender, because he's only hitting 200 lifetime against Miley, who used to give the Cubs hits. However, there's a lot more that will go into this team other than the addition of Wade Miley. I do like the signing. I think it's low risk at this point. This guy can give him innings. And then we'll take inventory around July 1st and see if he's going to be moved for a younger player, or you keep him along for the ride.
Yeah, Gonzo. I mean, he had a nice season for Cincinnati, 12-7, 28 starts. He pitched a great game at Wrigley Field toward the end of the season there. And as you said, this is a guy that's going to eat innings. It's their biggest need, starting pitching. And depending on how the offseason goes, as you said, or depending on how next season goes, you very easily could move him at the deadline under a one-year contract. There's not a long-term anything there. You're just on the hook for the $10 million, and you have plenty of money if you're the Cubs.
Yeah, and also a previous show, Bruce Levine brought up a pretty interesting point about Ian Happ and kind of breaking down his pluses and minuses, and the fact that teams are inquiring about him, and Bruce had mentioned if you can get back young, controllable starting pitching, that's another consideration, because let's face it, the Cubs need a lot of starting pitching, and if you can get it that's young, talented, and controllable, that's something they've been searching for since, you know, I remember 2014, after they traded Emilio Bonifacio and James Russell. for Victor Caratini. And Jed Hoyer made a declaration saying, hey, we're now going to try to get young, controllable starting pitching for the next 18 to 24 months. Well, that didn't happen unless you count Mike Montgomery. So this has been a long mission for this organization, and I think if they can add a couple of young, controllable starting pitchers, why not go for it?
You played the Emilio Bonifacio card.
Yeah, I did. That's how.
Wow.
Some things I can remember. I can't remember my PIN numbers, but I can remember that deal.
There you go. All right. So speaking of starting pitching, I saw an interesting piece come out of Toronto a couple weeks ago that a writer there listed an under-the-radar potential move of the Blue Jays getting Kyle Hendricks. And whatever that might take. I don't know if you – what do you think of that? That whole idea, Kyle Hendricks, and look, anybody can be traded depending what the offer is. I don't know where that stands. But given the fact that he's terrific in that role as that guy, he's still not a power pitcher. The Cubs seem to want to go that way, get back that way. What do you think of that idea? And is Hendricks a chip?
Well, you remember going back to the days of moving Jeff Samardzija, where they were talking about all the young pitching the Blue Jays had and how the Cubs wanted two of their pitchers, including Stroman, and I think there was another reliever, Aaron Sanchez or something. So they've done that dance before, but in the case of Kyle, I think everything for the Cubs is on the table. So I'd hate to give up Kyle because he gives you innings. He's also a guy that pitchers look to in terms of how to get better. But let's face it, they're not going to win the World Series next year. They need young arms, and if there's a deal there, then go for it. But it's a hypothetical. I see him staying here, but you always got to listen.
Gonzo, we talked a lot last season as the Cubs played out the string. A lot of the guys were getting their first chances or their first extended chances at playing time. You know, we had fun with the Schwindy City and Frank Schwindel, and Patrick Wisdom was hitting home runs. But which of those guys do you figure will see significant playing time for the Cubs in 2022? Is Schwindel your first baseman? Is Wisdom your third baseman next year?
Well, I think Wisdom, to me, comes to the forefront. I just think there's a bigger body of work there. Certainly Schwindel, I think, has earned the right to get a shot at first base and sees at least half the playing time. It's always dangerous when you evaluate guys, especially in the second half and late in the second half. But this guy seemed to get better, and I think that's a big feather in his cap and something the Cubs have to consider as they look at this team next year. I think he's earned that. And the fact that he probably saw a lot of things coming at him at different times in the second half, and you know, he was less of a mystery, but he answered every time. So I think he's earned that playing time that should be coming his way.
We're talking with Mark Gonzalez. We're talking baseball here on The Score. Gonzo, you can read him in the Daily Herald, and we're talking baseball, Cubs baseball specifically. The Cubs, I think, quit last year in December when they traded Yu Darvish. They just announced themselves as we're quitting, and eventually they waited until they could dump every big name, everybody you ever loved. And other teams didn't, but it worked out differently. The Cardinals went for it. Dodgers went for it. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals, so the Cardinals played one more game in going for it, and the Dodgers played one more series, and the Braves, who were 0.3% to win the World Series at the All-Star break, won the World Series. So those three teams going for it, that doesn't mean it's sustained success, but it means the Braves now have as many World Series as the Cubs do. What do you make of the way those teams approached it? Did the Cubs make a mistake? Should the Cubs have continued to make moves to stay in it? Is that ownership dictating that we're going to quit now and the general manager is going to have to answer for this nonsense? How do you view that in light of what the Cardinals did, which was, you know, barely more than what the Cubs got by the time the season was over?
Well, I still stand by my position that they should have started moving some guys after 2018, because certainly the offense was broken. They needed to make changes. Instead, they threw the hitting coach under the bus. And these guys really haven't gotten that much better. I mean, in the case of Chris Bryant, he had injuries, but, you know, and Javi had a great 2018, but the team regressed with the same core, and they weren't going to sign a long-term extension. So at some point, you had to do something. And I just felt at that point, they should have started moving guys around, for one, get something more than just a middle-of-the-road minor league player, or one guy that might have one or two tools but not five tools, and also serve notice to the rest of the roster that you guys are too content. We're going to shake things up, and either you're on board or you're not. And shift into what the Dodgers and Braves did, tip of the cap to them, because, you know, I think Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, really read the division very well, because he knew his team was struggling, but he also knew they were going to get better just based on some of the starting pitching they already had. The fact that, you know, the Nats were a mess. The Marlins were the Marlins. Phillies always have bullpen problems. And the Mets are the Mets. And the Mets came back to earth probably quicker than I thought they would, but nevertheless they did. And Anthopoulos really did a great job of addressing the outfield situation, getting guys who were rentals and not giving up too much in the meantime. So, tip of the cap to him. And in the case of the Dodgers, they went for it big, you know, going after the Nationals, two big ticket guys in Turner and Scherzer. And I think looking forward, I think a lot of teams should be looking at the Oakland A's and their three starting pitchers that might be available, you know, Bassett, Montez, and Minaya. I think that's the team that a lot of ball clubs should be looking at if they're looking to upgrade, especially with starting pitching.
Yeah, and we talk about free agency coming in too, Gonzo, and you have a lot of familiar faces out there. You mentioned the core that you know, the Cubs got the World Series out of, but that you look and none of them are here now. And I know Schwarber had a nice year in Washington and / Boston last year, but as you look into the future, how do you see free agency playing out for those guys, Schwarber and then the Rizzo-Bryant-Baez trio? Where do you see those guys landing this offseason?
Well, I think Schwarber is going to do pretty well for himself compared to last offseason. He really redeemed himself, did pretty well. He just got to stay healthy. You know, he had the bout of COVID, which was unfortunate, but I think he really helped his stock. Javier Baez, that's going to be an interesting study because he's kind of a polarizing guy. He finished strong at the plate, actually started drawing walks with more frequency, but yet, you know, there's a tendency to swing from the fence quite a bit. His defense, I thought, was subpar here with the Cubs at shortstop. A lot of errors that were correctable, and it just didn't happen here. I think he made like 13 of his 18 errors were throwing errors that were, you know, correctable. But he looked good at second base with the Mets. So that's another dimension there. In the case of Chris Bryant, that's going to be an interesting one. I think he does do well for himself, but it might not be the figure money-wise on annual salary that I think some have speculated. But he's certainly that Swiss Army knife that everybody's looking for now. And in the case of Anthony Rizzo, I see him staying on the East Coast. He'd be a pretty good fit with the Yankees where he finished up. Don't rule out the Red Sox, his first organization. Now, the annual salary, that's another issue too, because, you know, first baseman, other than Freeman, it's kind of a, you know, homogenous bunch where you can put anybody out there. I hate to say that because, you know, first baseman, there's a lot that goes into that position other than just taking throws from your infielders. But I think also Anthony's got a little bit to prove, too, because he's kind of tailed off the last couple years.
I love you talking about first base, Gonzo, because every time I hear about first base and what goes into it, I think of Moneyball. And I think of Brad Pitt and the guy playing Ron Washington sitting in Chris Pratt's playing, he's playing Scott Hatterberg's living room going, it's first base. It's easy to play first base, isn't it, Wash? Tell him, Wash. No, it's hard to play first base. And Ron Washington finally got a World Series ring, a third base coach of the Braves. And so many people in baseball were so happy for him.
You know who else did it nobody's talking about?
Who?
They got a ring? Greg Walker, roving hitting instructor for the Braves. And if the Braves do what other organizations do, they'll reward him with a ring. So how about that?
Wow. Nice. White Sox can't wait to fire him after this year's playoffs when they guys didn't hit.
Oh,
Gonzo,
on.
thanks for your time, Gonzo. We appreciate it. Thank
All
you.
All right, take care.
Mark
Gonzalez. Read him in the Daily Herald. Read him. MD Gonzalez on Twitter. He's terrific. So later on this hour, we are going to replay the Justin Fields interview, the one he sat down, he did with Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel. We'll replay that. But before that, we have other things to get to. So Alex Caruso, new Bulls cult hero. He has a Christmas gift list for you. And Catherine O'Hara in a Christmas, certainly a Christmas classic movie, is now doing a commercial that I think is just really smart. The Hall of Fame got a gift from one of its champions that is just perfect. I can't wait to see this display. And we'll hear from a classic Thanksgiving drop and Neil Young, the story of one of his greatest songs. I don't know if you knew this, but we're gonna go over this, Espo, knowing that you're a musicologist.
I know this now, and I'm excited about it.
So that's it. That's what we're going to do. And we have Justin Fields coming up later on this hour. Saturday suckage, trying hard, still sucking. We suck so you don't have to. It's a public service. We're givers, not takers. We're pleasers, not teasers. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It sucks, and it freebases.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You guys suck.
We do. Saturday suckage. It's an all-star suckage lineup. Mike Esposito in for Grody, who was in for Espo, who was in for Jordan Bernfield, who was listening earlier, who was in for Wayne Randazzo, who couldn't decide if he was a wedgie or a noogie guy, if he preferred what was going to happen in that booth with
AJ Kierzynski.
Yeah. We need to get Wayne on. Was he more worried about the wedgie or the noogie from AJ? And then before that was Brian Farouk. And before that, Saturday suckage, it didn't suck because it was Dave Baum, the chat champ. He was there. He was golden. So,
absolutely.
All right. Espo, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum tweeted something out that showed a wonderful sense of humor. It received a package this week. And so it posted this video on Twitter. And it's a box. So you see the hands opening the box. And then when the box is opened, it's bubble wrap. So they rip the bubble wrap open, and then it's a manila envelope that says HOF. And then they open the manila envelope to reveal the contents, and the contents are, what do you think?
You got me. I did not see this video, and I am eagerly awaiting the
A pearl necklace.
from Jock Peterson?
Former Cub Jock Peterson sent the Hall of Fame. From the world champion Atlanta Braves sent the Hall of Fame a pearl necklace that he proudly wore and started a whole tradition that will, a tradition unlike any other. You think the Masters is that? Wearing pearls in the World Series and winning the damn thing. So his pearls, I assume, will be displayed. But the Hall of Fame gratefully and gracefully accepted it and did a wonderful bit promoting it.
The best with Jock Peterson is, you know, we're watching the World Series here at the house, and my wife turns to me and said, you know, because she knows it's Jock Peterson, and we're watching the game, and she's like, and I hadn't even noticed. She's like, why is Jock Peterson wearing pearls? And I'm like, I have no idea. But that was a something. That was a baseball thing, and there it is now in the Hall of Fame.
It is. It is. So Thanksgiving is coming up, and as you remember, Espo has been a member of this show, and we've enjoyed many Thanksgiving before on this show, and we have a list of favorite of audio that we play. There's only one Thanksgiving piece of audio that we play, and I thought, because you're here and we're in that Thanksgiving orbit, we're going to play it for you now.
Oh, the humanity! People are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
There it is.
Les Neslin, Mr. Carlson, WKRP in Cincinnati. Oh, the humanity!
Oh, the humanity! That's right. Live
God
on the
is
scene,
my witness.
Les Neslin.
Yeah.
That's
As
a classic.
God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Oh, the humanity!
Yeah, that's it.
We have to watch and or listen to that every year. It is a tradition, and we do. And I'm glad that we did again here on the 13th of November. A little early, but we'll take it. As you said, I will not be here next week. Grody will be back in for himself next week. So I'm glad we could listen to a little WKRP today.
Yes. Well, we need to. And we did. So Alex Caruso is a paid endorser. He's an ambassador for a line of clothes called Travis Matthew. One word, the M in Matthew is capitalized. I did not. Did you know this? Did you know that
no,
he had anything to do with
it? I did
whatever,
not.
We're all, yeah, I didn't. I did not either. So he's got a list of Travis Matthew. This is from, because I follow the diva on, she works at E! Channel. And so I follow the news, and they did this. All of a sudden, Alex Caruso, the a cult hero, right? I mean, the
sure.
This makes some sense that you would want to sign this guy. His following is bigger and bigger. His following includes LeBron James, by the way. He's a big fan. So now he's a Bulls hero, and he lists five things that are Travis Matthews, that there's some of which from Travis Matthews, but the one of them is like the cloud hoodie. It's plush and fleece, and it looks nice, right? On nice looking male models, everything looks nice. And that goes for $135. And then there's the Manscaped lawnmower that Mark Cuban invested in during a Shark Tank episode. And okay, one of the things about this, for by the way, $90 at Macy's, $90 at Target, a wireless charging system and a 90-minute runtime. I'm thinking if you need more than 90 minutes to manscape, you might have bigger problems than affording the tool, but that's just me.
Yes.
One of the other things on Alex Caruso's list is Tonal. You know, that training. Build is the world's smartest home gym and personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Marked down to $27.45.
For those of you
who haven't been fined for taunting, you might have that kind of money around. That's Alex Caruso. Well,
and now I'm here on the Travis Matthew website, and they have a section for called the Athlete, where they have, you know, here are their endorsers that are.
I did not go that far. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, in addition to Alex Caruso, We've got the always handsome Jimmy Garoppolo on there. We have veteran Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan. And free agent shortstop Corey Seager, along with Caruso. Those are the four pictures I am looking at on the athlete section of Travis Matthew.
Is it appropriate to sing one of these things is not like the other ones?
Yeah, you might. Let's
go over the names again. Matt Ryan, he was in a Super Bowl. They lost that Super Bowl, but he was in the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
Corey Seager won a World Series. Right?
Yep. Jimmy G.
Jimmy G was in a Super Bowl. No, he wasn't.
Yep.
Yeah, he was.
Sure he was.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he
was. That's right. Bill Belichick said no more. So, and then Alex Caruso, but he won with the Lakers, right? He was part of a LeBron. It just wasn't that, I don't know, not a quarterback, not a shortstop, not, okay. But whatever, that's Alex Caruso. He's a cult hero in Chicago, and every bit of he's Nocioni. He's got the whole Nocioni vibe going.
That he does. That he does.
And so I had mentioned, I know you're a big music fan, Neil Young. In 1989, by the way, Neil Young is a big San Jose Sharks fan, Canadian-born Neil Young.
I have seen that, yes.
So, in 1989, Neil Young was part of a U.S.-Russia cultural exchange. This note comes from our cult zeitgeist friend, Carl Quintanilla of CNBC. So Neil Young is part of a U.S.-Russia cultural exchange, and the thing falls apart. This is in 1989. Russia would also fall apart, but the thing fell apart. His guitarist said, this is the quote, "Man, I guess we're just going to have to keep on rocking in the free world." Young said, "Poncho, that's a good line. I'm going to use that." Neil Young, born 76 years ago today, wrote, "Rockin' in the free, keep on rocking in the free world." Did you know that story?
I had never heard that story. I know at the time they were doing a lot of, you had the bands. You had Paul McCartney, you know, played in Russia. You had a rock for Russia, like a Headbangers Ball type metal tour with like Motley Crue and Bon Jovi, and I forget what it was called, but that was also in the late 80s. But I had not heard that. And Rockin' in the Free World, still a concert staple, not only for Neil Young, but Pearl Jam plays it all the time in concert.
I did not know that. I did not know. It's a great song. You know, it's
absolutely.
And as long as you're in the free world, you play it. You do that. That's the way it goes.
That's right.
So this was... This is Aaron Rodgers-esque in some ways. But are your kids Mighty Ducks fans? Do you show them the movie, show them the series?
They have not seen the movie. They may have seen the series, but I mean, they're not big fans one way or the other.
So there's TV seasons of the Mighty Ducks, Game Changer season 2. So, Emilio Estevez is not returning for the second season. Now, he's not returning over the vaccine requirement to shoot the thing. So, Gordon, your coach, is not going to be there. So, to connect these dots, Emilio Estevez is quitting a show about being a good teammate because he doesn't want to be a good teammate over vaccine mandates. That is art imitating stupidity. That's just... I never would have... I should have expected that. But on a happier Hollywood note, Catherine O'Hara, we're all big fans, right? Catherine O'Hara?
We are. We love Catherine O'Hara.
She's a treasure. She needs to be protected the way Betty White is, right? She needs to live that long. She's Catherine
O'Hara.
That's
right. Is Betty White 100? She's closing in on 100, is she not?
She is closing in on 100, and she needs to be bubble wrapped.
That's Betty right, with Jack wrapped. Peterson's necklace. That's right.
Yeah, with the pearls, yeah. So Catherine O'Hara has done so many wonderful things and been honored for the show whose name I'm afraid to pronounce, with Eugene Levy and Eugene Levy and his son,
right.
And it's just It was spectacular, yeah. About a creek. And
yes.
She was magic. She was magic before that. You just, her filmography, her shows, going back to, especially to Second City, not Second City. Why am I blowing this? Not Second City.
The Canadian one. I'm missing it up too, where Dan Aykroyd, they all came from SCTV.
SCTV, right? I guess it is somewhere, yeah. So, yeah, where, yeah, and she was in, every kid knows she was Kate McAllister in Home Alone.
Yep.
She was the mom.
That one definitely gets watched 1,000 times in my house during the holidays, for sure,
well,
by the kids.
I have to hand it to Chase Bank, the Chase credit cards, because they have a Freedom Unlimited card, and you may have seen the campaign where Kevin Hart's yelling, and you know,
yep.
why are you yelling? Because that's what I do. And he's been their spokesman, right?
Yep.
So somebody had the, I think, is a brilliant idea, and it's a great commercial.
It's a great commercial.
Catherine Hart and Catherine O'Hara yells Kevin. They're in a mall. She can't find him. And she's screaming Kevin like she's talking about Kevin McAllister, not at the airport. He's home alone. I think it's just a great adaptation. And anything that brings us more Catherine O'Hara is worth it. It's great. It's a brilliant idea. And that's what she's... Have you seen the commercial?
I literally saw it for the only time yesterday. Coincidentally, I did not know we were doing this today. And it is, like, I didn't know Kevin Hart was coming out, so I'm sitting there waiting for, like, Macaulay Culkin or something to come out. And then
right.
Kevin Hart, and then they do the, you know, the punchline of the ad, and I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, that is extremely well done.
It is. It's a great thought. Kevin! I love that.
Kevin!
Yeah. So, anyways, before we take a break, and we will bring you the Justin Fields interview after this. Mark Hamill is a Twitter god in my world. He's just a funny guy, and he
is
he's
great.
Wonderful.
Yep.
So somebody tweeted out, I bet Mark Hamill could tweet absolutely nothing and get over 20,000 likes. And quite frankly, I'm okay with that. Mark Hamill is one of the coolest, nicest people on the planet. And then there's a big red heart emoji. So indeed, Hamill himself tweeted the words absolutely nothing and got... How many likes do you think he got? Remember, this guy said he could tweet absolutely nothing and get over 20,000 likes.
100,000.
121,900 as
yep.
of last count.
And
isn't that great?
And I agree with you. I enjoy Mark Hamill very much on Twitter. And
uh-huh.
This nugget, as I, of course, went down the wormhole as soon as I said about Betty White. Betty White will turn 100 years old on January 17th. So two more months.
It should be a national holiday.
She's a treasure.
She is a treasure. She is a treasure.
She All was right. a golden girl 40 years ago. Now she's 100.
She was Sue Ann Nivens. It was just, man, that is one of the great all-time roles. She is just spectacular. As is Catherine O'Hara. We have our favorites here. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have a Justin Fields interview for you. He did with Parkins and Spiegel. And Matt Spiegel got into the whole dog coat thing that has become a whole Twitter drama. So we'll bring you up to date on that. This is Saturday Suckage. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Okay, so... Thanks for listening to Saturday Suckage. That's Mike Esposito over there. He was sitting in for Mark Grody, who was sitting in for Mike Esposito, who was sitting in for Jordan Bernfield, who was sitting in for Wayne Randazzo, who was sitting in for somewhere back to Brian Peruk. And then Zach Withers piped up and wondered who's producing where. So Trash Panda, who cut a new open, actually cut the old open in half, and he called it a new open. And then he's in for Brandon Fryer's in for Trash Panda, who's in for Zach Withers, and they wanted to know the lineage. And it's good. I'm not sure the producers, but I know before Zach Withers was Brett Lyons, and in there was a Rick Camp at some point in time. And
yeah.
I know the lineage traces back to Mel Michaels, and you can verify that with Lawrence Holmes. I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
So that's
That, I can't connect all those dots. I'm sure there's some holes here, but tough. But we suck. That's what I'm telling you about it. Yeah, that's it. We'd like to thank our guests, but I don't want to list them. And we're going to bring you an interview that Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel did with Justin Fields, your interim quarterback for the Bears, your interim hero, your sole reason for watching this team the rest of the year. Mike Esposito is in for Grody. Thank you, Mike, for sitting in. And we presume Mark will be back unless he comes to his senses.
It has been a pleasure, my friend, and good to be on with you again. And, yes, I think Grody will be back in for himself effective next week. So.
All right. All right. Take care. Say hi to the multi-hued, the multi-haired Stacy. And we'll bring you this from Justin Fields with Parkins and Spiegel.
And we are absolutely thrilled to welcome back to the show the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. He's with us on behalf of Duncan and Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. November 15th for National Philanthropic Day, 5 a.m. to noon, Duncan will donate $1 to Lurie Children's for every large or extra large hot coffee sold. Justin, man, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing very, very well. Saw on the internet that you're down in Florida with Brandon Marshall. So what's up for you in the bye week?
Yeah, I just kind of came down to Florida, of course, to get out of that cold weather. That's going down to Chicago right now. So kind of just to get away a little bit. And, you know, just to kind of change the scenery up. And, of course, I visited, you know, House of the Athlete, Brandon Marshall's gym, and got an opportunity to meet him in person and, you know, got to work out there. So it's been awesome.
That's cool.
So far.
Are you going to be on the I Am Athlete podcast, Justin?
I don't think so. Maybe in the future, though, but not anytime soon, I don't think. So.
Yeah, those guys are crazy. That would be fun, I'm sure. Hey, man, if you think this is cold for Chicago, like, it's going to be – it might be a little bumpy for you the next couple of months. You're prepared, though. Columbus wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't that bad. But, you know, when it first turns cold, you know, it's more cold. So I just have to, of course, get my body – and stuff used to that weather. Then, of course, you know, on the back end of winter, when it's about to turn spring, when it's 40 degrees outside, 45 degrees, and of course, that'll feel hot to me. So it's just, you know, a matter of adjusting to the weather.
You know, people want to get to know you, man. How I remember there was a profile piece on you around the draft, and you were like just looking forward to coming to Chicago, exploring the city, figuring out. How are you liking living in Chicago right now?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I live kind of close to the facility, so away from the city, so it's nice, you know, kind of like me growing up, really kind of just quiet, you know, not really much going on. So, I mean, it's awesome. And of course, you know, the city's amazing and stuff like that. So the people are great. And I've enjoyed my time here a lot.
Hey, Justin, we were talking before the show. It's like when I was 22, I was working at a hardware store, playing a lot of Tecmo Super Bowl. I was chilling a lot. I was not leading anybody, you know. You have teammates in that huddle who are 30. Jason Peters is 53, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but
my man's not 53. he's not that old.
No, he's not that old. But how do you command respect in that huddle as a 22-year-old young man? What's the secret to commanding respect from those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, going out there every day in the facility, showing those guys that you care, showing them how much, you know, the sport means to you and, you know, just how much you want to win. So I think once they see that and once they see you, you know, making plays on the field, then they really start believing you and trusting you more and more. So that's kind of been, you know, my plan and what I've been doing, you know, since I've got there, just trying to show my teammates, show my coaches, you know, how much I want to win and how great I want to be.
That makes all the sense in the world. You know, Cole Kmet has talked about how you've been a little bit more assertive at practices, and you've talked about getting on Zooms with the wide receivers and working on routes. Has that assertiveness with teammates connected to being more decisive on the field as we've watched you be more decisive on the field?
I would just say, you know, that more decisiveness, I think that's just, you know, coming with time and me getting used to the game and how the game of football is played in the NFL. You know, it's a little bit different. You can't really, you know, stand back in the pocket like college and sit back there for 4 or 5 seconds. You have to, you know, just take what the defense gives you and, you know, get those 5-6 yards and move on to the next play. So the game's a lot different than it was in college for sure.
It seems from our untrained eye that you're just making unbelievable strides like week to week to week. How much do you feel like you are learning by being out there playing every week, Justin?
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, learning a lot, and, you know, I'm going to continue to learn. So me just being out there, you know, me being able to see different defenses and kind of how they work and operate, I think just the more and more I'm out there, the easier it is for me to see, you know, defenses and stuff like that. So, you know, from the first game I was thrown into to up until this point now, I'm seeing things a lot more clear. And, you know, of course, the playbook, I have more reps with, you know, certain plays, so I'm more comfortable running certain plays. So it's been great.
Did it feel like something clicked for you and Allen Robinson in the Pittsburgh game?
I mean, yeah. You know, A-Rob, I think me and his connection are, you know, growing more and more each week. You know, like I said, we've been meeting just as a tight end, quarterback, receivers, and running back, just, you know, on pass plays the night before the game over, you know, recent practices we had over the week and stuff like that. So kind of just talking with him through that and, you know, making sure that we're on the same page, I think it's definitely getting our chemistry up for sure.
Hey, Justin, we had a chance to talk to Mike Vick last week, you know, on the short list of the most exciting athletes of our lifetimes, obviously. And he mentioned something. Well, first of all, you must have been a huge fan growing up in Georgia. Like,
yeah, I was.
You were, right?
I was.
But so he mentioned something that I can't stop thinking about, how, like, running and getting a first down running changed his, like, confidence level in everything with the passing. Like, and watching you run for a first down, does that then make you even more confident in the passing game and just everything you got to do? It seems to be working together like that.
I would say sometimes, but for me, you know, just running and kind of getting mobile and active a little bit, I think that just, you know, puts me more into the game more and kind of really just gets me, I guess, in the game more. But, you know, being a quarterback is different from all of the other positions. You know, we kind of can't really have that rah-rah energy. Of course, you know, some guys can, but I tend to kind of have my energy calm and stuff like that. But, you know, I think just running and, you know, maybe getting hit once or twice, that'll be like, all right, now I'm ready to play. And it kind of wakes you up a little bit. So, of course, you know, running definitely gets the blood going a little bit and gets me going. So, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Was Mike your guy growing up, and what's it like to have a relationship with him now?
Yeah, he was. I mean, I remember seven, eight years old, wearing his cleats. You know, I had to get his cleats when I was younger. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of the most electric players that I've seen play in my lifetime. So I talk to him every now and then. So it's always great hearing from him and just, you know, the advice that he gives me.
Have you picked his brain, or, like, who do you go to for advice? Obviously, you've got your coaches and your teammates in that quarterback room, but who do you go to for advice, Justin?
Yeah, of course, you know, Nick and Andy, them, just having those guys there every day. But I would say a quarterback that's not on our team that's in the league right now is Cam Newton. I've known Cam since my junior year of high school, so he actually called me, I think, either last week or the week before that, and we had a good little chat. So, you know, whenever I need some advice or something like that, I'm always able to reach out to Cam, and he's always ready to talk. So
you must be thrilled that he's back in Carolina.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm excited for him, and I hope he does well, for sure.
We're talking to Justin Fields here, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score on behalf of Duncan and Lurie Children's on November 15th, 5 a.m. to noon. $1 donated to Lurie Children's for every large or extra large hot coffee sold. You know, Spiegs was asking you about you as you know, a leader at 22 with older teammates. I'm curious about what motivates you. You know, are you the type of guy that you want to prove anyone who said anything about you at the draft or who passed on you? Are you the type of guy who wants to, like, prove the doubters wrong, or how do you get motivated?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's definitely one thing about it. I like doing that. I just like proving people wrong. I like proving myself right. And, you know, just the stuff that I'm able to do, I think, you know, just my competitive spirit just, you know, allows me to keep pushing and keep, you know, thriving to be great every day. So I think it's, you know, all of those really just into one thing, and just, you know, proving people wrong, proving myself right, and also wanting to, you know, be great and wanting to expand my potential.
So what's one that sticks with you? Like, what's a slight or something that sticks with you that you think about as a chip on the shoulder?
You know, it's just a bunch of stuff, you know, mixed up about how they say our offense, you know, isn't as good and stuff like that. And, of course, we've had a couple of rough games this year. So just hearing everybody's mouth that, you know, that talks bad about us, that's just a little bit of motivation for, you know, myself and my teammates.
Wow. So all of you, that's not about you. That's about your teammates. It's about the coaches. It's about everybody in your mind.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I think my teammates get motivated by me and, you know, to be honest, those two performances that we had early in the year, that was just embarrassing. So, we knew that, you know, we couldn't play like that. So, I mean, just every day at practice, we're trying to, you know, get better and work hard. So, yeah.
Hey, Justin, we love that you talked to the refs about the roughing the passer. That you said to them, Big Ben just got that call. What's up with that? How did that interaction go? Like, were they responsive? Because you're going to have to do that. As a quarterback, you're going to have to establish relationships like that with the refs.
Yeah, I mean, he was. But, you know, it's just me talking to him and, you know, kind of picking his brain and see what he saw. But if you, you know, don't talk to him, then they're going to think that, you know, you agree with him. But, of course, you have to let them hear, you know, what you thought that happened on the play respectfully and not, you know, get too disrespectful with it, because then you don't want to get on the ref's bad side. And then, you know, anything happen when you're on the ref's bad side. So you definitely don't want to do that. But just approach the ref, you know, respectfully and kind of just talk to him about, you know, the play that just had happened.
Did you see that call Lamar got last night? They barely touched him. He got the call. He got the flag.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy to me, but, you know, it's football, so we'll see.
Yeah, man, that'll be you in a year or two. So, Justin, yeah. You know, our audience wants to get to know you a little bit, right? Like, so I got some quick hitters here for you, for Bears fans know you a little bit. So, like, after a long day, you've watched every piece of film you could possibly watch. We know you like to chill mm-hmm. with Uno the dog, but outside of chilling with your dog, what's something else that you do to decompress and relax?
Yeah, I just usually hop on my PlayStation with my best friend from high school, and we usually hop on the game for like 30 minutes or to an hour. So that's kind of what I do to kind of decompress and get away from football for the night.
What's your game of choice?
I usually play Call of Duty Warzone. Or I play a little bit of Rocket League. So those are my two that I've been playing lately.
Are you public out there? Can people go challenge you and find you on PlayStation?
Nah, not really. See, I'm not as good as, you know, some guys out here. You know, I just play it for fun. But, you know, some of these guys in the league, I mean, they're crazy at Call of Duty. Like Tariq Cohen, he's amazing at Call of Duty. And then David Montgomery also is a pretty good player too. So I'm not as good as those guys, but I'm all right, so I choose to just, you know, play privately and, you know, not do as well in private rather than public.
You got any superstitions or, like, game day rituals, a pregame meal, anything like that?
No, not really. I just, you know, make sure I pray before every game and, you know, thank God for giving me the opportunity to be able to play. So that's the only, you know, pregame ritual that I have.
How's Uno doing? How's Uno liking the weather and adjusting to Chicago?
He's doing good. You know, of course, my man is having a hard time adjusting to the weather. I feel like every time I take him out in the morning, he's always shivering and stuff. So I got to give him a coat here coming up soon. But he's been good, and you know he loves the new backyard, so he's been awesome.
Oh, that's nice. Are you okay being a guy with a dog with a coat? You all right being a dog coat person, Justin?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't mind it. It's for the dog, so. Just making sure my man stays warm.
That's true. Well, the last time we had you on, I don't know if you remember, but I told you that I had been prepared to trade my dog Omar for a franchise quarterback. And when I told Omar that we were having you on, he said, tell Justin thank you, because I took him off the trade block, because just based on how you've been playing recently, it feels like we got a franchise quarterback. So now Omar doesn't need a new home. So on behalf of my dog, Justin, he thanks you.
Tell him I said, no problem, of course. Glad I can help out.
All right. Hey, you know, in terms of motivation, by the way, you were talking about, like, what people slight for the team or anything like that. You know, you get the Packers again, and for the last 30 years or something, they've had the upper hand in that rivalry. So I don't know if what Rodgers said or anything like that motivated you. It's certainly pissed off the city, but I know it's one game at a time. But is that something that motivates you going forward to maybe tilt that rivalry back in Chicago's favor?
Just know it'll be back on our side very soon. Sooner than later, for sure.
That's Justin, awesome. Man, what made you partner with Duncan and Lurie Children's? This is a very cool initiative that's happening November 15th.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, with Duncan, donating $1 from every large or extra large cup of coffee on Monday. It's awesome to see them helping the community out, and you know, the people at Larry Children's Hospital, just the way they connect with those children at the hospital. I actually got a chance to talk to a few kids at Larry Children's Hospital last week, so you know, just having that opportunity, you know, to talk with their families and kind of, you know, change up their routine and just, you know, just to kind of give them hope and kind of, you know, just switch it up for them was amazing for me. And you know, anytime I get an opportunity to help out in the community, I always jump on it. So it's been great for me, and I think, you know, Duncan and Larry Children's are doing a great thing. So that's really the big reason why I hopped on this opportunity.
Hey, Justin, my son had his appendix taken out at Lurie Children's. It is absolutely a great place. They took beautiful care of him. So you've partnered with some good ones. And thanks again for your time,
sir.
Man.
No problem.
Justin, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good
one. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.